عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the universe, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of His prophets and messengers, including His final and beloved messenger, the seal of the Prophet Muhammad, and His pure and immaculate household and righteous companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum, wa in asa'tum falaha. If you are virtuous, you are virtuous for the sake of your own souls. And if you commit evil, it is for them. Amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyu al-azim. There are an infinite ways of being of service, of bringing joy, happiness, comfort, relief, spiritual, emotional, intellectual growth to others. Many ways for us to be of service towards others. Explicit ways, implicit ways, temporary ways, permanent ways, big ways, small ways. And we find that while much focus on service and kindness and generosity and goodness, while much of the focus is on the big, usually it's the big things that make the headlines. You hear about large sums that are given to charity, a large effort, a big effort in service, in goodness. While much of the focus is on the big, and while big acts of service are good, we know that sometimes it is the tiniest and the small acts of service and the smallest acts of goodness that have the greatest amount of impact and consequences on others and on community as a whole. I read a story once about a king. This king had decided that he wanted to build a mosque in his capital where he lived. He wanted to build a beautiful mosque. And he wanted to build the mosque all by himself. So he stood up before his subjects, before the people, and he told them that I plan on building this mosque, and I do not want any of you to participate in the building of this mosque. I want to build this mosque all by myself. I will take care of everything, and I don't want any of you to do anything. And he warned them. He said, I warn you to try to participate in any way. I want to take care of this project all by myself. And indeed, he began the construction of this beautiful, vast mosque in his city. And of course, he had his name on the front of this project, that this project is being supported and funded and constructed by King so-and-so. One night, this king, he goes to sleep, and as he's sleeping, he sees in his dream an angel descend from the heavens down to the mosque that he's building, and to erase the king's name off of the mosque and write the name of a woman. So the king woke up. He's astonished. He called his people, and he told them to go and to check on the mosque to see what's going on. So they went to the mosque, and they found that no, nothing had happened. His name was still there on the mosque. So they came back and they told him. That same night, the king went to sleep again, and for the second time he saw a dream that the angel was descending and he was erasing the king's name off, and he was writing that same woman, he was writing her name on the mosque. So the king, once again, he woke up, he sent his troops, his people, he sent them to go and see what happened. They went, and once again they came back to him and they told him, there's nothing happened, your name is still there, nothing happened. These are just false dreams that you're having. That night, once again, for the third time, the king goes to sleep and he sees the same exact dream once again. Same thing happens. So he wakes up and he turns to his advisors and he knows the name that's being engraved from the dream. It's the same person, it's the same woman. So he calls out, he tells his advisors, bring me this woman, so-and-so, this lady, bring her to me. So they go in the city and they ask around. They find out that this woman is an old, poor lady. So they approach her and they tell her that the king has summoned you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to speak with me? Yes, he wants to speak with you. Okay. So she goes, she accompanies them and she goes to the king. The king, he asks her, he tells her, you know about the large mosque project in the city, right? She says, yes. He says, did you contribute to this project in any way? The woman says, no, I didn't contribute anything. He says, are you sure? I think you may have done something. She says, no, look at me. I'm a poor old woman. I have no resources. I have no strength. And besides, I heard your warning about not contributing, so I didn't do anything. But there was this one thing that I did. The king said, yes, what is it? Tell me. She says, one day I was passing by, as the mosque was being constructed, I was passing by and I found that one of the animals that carries the load, the construction material, one of these animals was tied with a rope, was tied to a pole, and this animal was very, very thirsty. It looked like this animal was thirsty, and there was a bucket of water close by, but because this animal was tied with its rope, it could not reach the bucket of water to drink. So I took this bucket, and I brought it forth, and I brought it closer to this animal, and this animal began to drink from the bucket. The king said, yes. Now I realize. You performed this act out of complete sincerity and dedication to God. It was an act of generosity, an act of kindness, an act of sincerity. When I built and I planned to build this mosque, I did it for complete personal purposes. So everyone who passes by says, oh, our mighty king has built the mosque all by himself. Such a beautiful mosque. And as a result, because of your sincerity, I have commanded my advisors to go to that mosque and to remove my name and to place your name on the mosque. You know, our teachings, they encourage us never to belittle an opportunity for service. An opportunity for goodness, an opportunity for kindness, no matter how small it may seem. In his famous statement, in his famous speech, welcoming the holy month of Ramadan, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma sallam. He says, part of the speech, he says, O people, safeguard yourselves, protect yourselves from God's wrath, God's punishment, by feeding those who are in need and feeding those who are fasting during the month of Ramadan. So some of the companions, they turned to the Prophet and they told him, Ya Rasulullah, we understand the importance of this act of kindness, but not all of us are capable of feeding others in the month of Ramadan. Some of us do not have the resources and the means to do so. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, he replied, he said, اتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Guard yourselves, protect yourselves, safeguard yourselves, even if it means that you offer a portion of a date. If you have a date, a portion of it, split it in half and give half of it. A portion of this date, give it in kindness, in generosity to someone else, in service to someone else. And then the Prophet, he continued, he said, اتقوا النار ولو بشربة من الماء. Protect yourselves through an act of kindness, even if it means giving someone a small amount, a sip of water. Not even an entire bottle, not an entire cup, a sip of water. As an act of kindness, as an act of generosity and service towards others. In another tradition, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, دخل عبد الجنة بغصن من شوك كان على الطريق فأماته عنه. He says, an individual can enter the paradise, heaven, can be rewarded by God by simply removing a branch, a thorny branch that is in the middle of the road. It's bothering people, it's blocking the road, and this person, out of sincerity, simply removes this harmful object out of the middle of the road. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward this person with granting them entrance into paradise. It's a small task. You walk by, you see an obstacle, you remove this obstacle. How many times do we walk around and we see obstacles? Or sometimes we see trash, for instance, thrown around here and there. And we pass by this trash. It's not my job. It's my job to pick up trash. Someone else threw it. Someone else did this. How many times do we pass by and actually stop to remove an harmful object? Or to pick up trash? Right now, during the month of Ramadan, we come together at the masjid, for instance. Sometimes after we eat, some people, they may forget, inadvertently, they may forget their trash, right? If we pass by and we see something thrown on the floor, do we just pass by and assume that someone else is going to pick it up? Or do we make the time and effort to pick up this small item? It's a small act. But the Prophet says, through these small acts, they may be small in your eyes and in my eyes, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are great. These acts are great. Service, brothers and sisters, service towards others, kindness, generosity, is an opportunity for us to grow. Each act of service is an opportunity for growth that we transcend. It's an act of self-transcendence. When we are able to transcend above and beyond our limited ego. Our ego, no matter how entertaining and beautiful it may be, no matter how great we may be, we are still limited in terms of our desires and our needs and our bad habits and our good habits. When we perform service towards others, we are able to transcend ourselves, our egos. And we are able to grow at a greater level, at a higher level. It's easy for us to think of service as a burden, because it takes time, it takes effort, it takes resources and energy. And so, many of us, we think, what's in it for me? I spend my time and my efforts and my money and my energy, and someone else benefits. What's in it for me? It's only a burden for me to serve. But in fact, we know that service is advantageous not only to its recipient, but also to the one who performs the act of service. Also to the one who performs this act of kindness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, in chapter 17, Surah Al-Isra, verse number 7, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. When you do good, when you are virtuous, when you are of service to others, then the benefits and the rewards of this service and goodness goes back to you. You are virtuous first and foremost to yourselves. You're growing. You're benefiting. Before the recipient of that service, before the recipient of that goodness. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. This is definitely a post-ikhlas salawat. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He says in the hadith, he said, جُمِلَتِ الْقُلُوبُ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا وَبُغْضِ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهَا. Hearts, human beings, their hearts have been programmed naturally to like and to adore and to admire those who do good towards them and to dislike those who do evil towards them. Each and every one of us. When someone does something good for us, we admire that person. We like that person. Everyone likes being a recipient of goodness, and no one likes being a recipient of evil or immorality or bad. That's how we've been programmed. So goodness, in fact, draws people. Acts of kindness and generosity, it allows us to grow, but it also draws people to you. And we find this in the world of business. The most important concept when it comes to business is what? Is customer service. You cannot have a successful business if you do not have good customer service. Each and every one of us, we recall, we realize, we have times where, for instance, we've been to a store or we've been to a restaurant and we've either experienced good customer service or bad customer service. Sometimes we remember, we've been to a restaurant, some of us have probably experienced this. You can recall going to a certain restaurant and seeing all sorts of horrible things, never wanting to think about this place again. Through their customer service. Either they're lazy, or it took them an hour and a half to get to you, or the food was bad, or whatever it may be, or you saw cockroaches running around. We've all seen cockroaches. Or, sometimes, you go to a place, and you find what? You find that they have good customer service. There are certain companies now, when you buy a product from them, the product might be pricey, it might be expensive, but you may go and you purchase that product because you know that place has great customer service. Because if anything happens to your product, they will help you. They won't bother you. If something breaks, they'll fix it. If it's not working, they'll replace it. If something isn't great, you get your money back. They make you satisfied. Why? Why is it? Because they know that if they take care of you, you're going to come back. They're going to please you. You're not only going to come back, but you're also going to perform free advertising for them. Immediately, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to go on Yelp. You give them good reviews, right? Then you're going to turn to your friends and your family members and your neighbors, and you're going to tell them about how great this restaurant was and their customer service and their product and the way that they acted with you and they dealt with you. And the same thing on the flip side. If it's bad, the first person that loses is whom? Is the company itself, the business itself. You're going to go and you're going to complain to everyone. Not only are you not going to come back, but you are going to go and give them bad publicity, bad advertising, right? And so the benefit or the harm goes back to oneself. We are told that when we serve, the goodness of this service, the benefit of this service comes back, first and foremost, to ourselves. And thus, offering service can be remarkably rewarding for us. And it can be good for us in terms of our growth. But it's not always appreciated. Goodness, kindness, generosity, it's not always recognized. It's not always admired. It's not always appreciated. How many parents do we have in our local communities, in our country, and across the world, how many parents spend decades of their lives taking care of their children, their every single need, everything that they need, every detail of their lives. Sometimes parents aren't able to sleep at night because they're thinking about their kids. Right? They want to take care. I heard a parent say yes. Right? They do everything in their capacity to care for their children. Many times, the parents, they don't receive the recognition from their children. They may in the beginning, especially when they're young. And I'm not talking about getting Father's Day and Mother's Day cards. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real appreciation. That when the parents themselves are at a stage where they are in need of their children, they are at either they are financially or emotionally or physically, they're in need of their children. They need their children to take care of them. How many turn away and neglect their parents? They disregard their parents when their parents need them the most. Many families, unfortunately, once the parents grow old, that's it, they're forgotten. They're placed in, you know, senior homes, they're taken care of, and the children forget them completely. They might see them once or twice a year, Thanksgiving or, you know, Christmas or whatnot, a few calls here and there. Otherwise, they're completely forgotten. They're not appreciated for their decades of service, for their decades of goodness. Or teachers, for instance. Perhaps the most underappreciated are teachers. Look at, in terms of their salaries, in terms of their salaries, just go and look at how much teachers make. In relation to the contribution that they make, how many hours they spend with our children. And some teachers are remarkable. Some of the best human beings that I've met in my life are teachers. The way that they deal with children, with complete passion and sincerity. They love taking care of children and helping them. They're very passionate, but yet they are underappreciated. Sometimes they receive no recognition whatsoever. Many other examples we have. Nurses, for instance. Nurses do a lot in order to take care of patients. I remember a few months ago, I had severe neck and back pain. I had to end up going to the ER in the middle of the night. I went to the ER, and there, the ones who took most care of me were whom? Not the doctor, but the nurses that were there. The doctor came by, God bless his soul, he came by and he spoke to me and he told me, you know, he reassured me, there's nothing wrong with you. But most of the time, it was the nurses. They came and they gave me the medication. They came and gave me an extra pillow. They came and they asked me how I'm feeling, whether I'm feeling well or not. But no one appreciates them. They're forgotten, right? We find in many cases volunteers in a range of organizations. Volunteers never receive any recognition. Sometimes, in fact, they are treated harshly. Instead of receiving recognition and appreciation for their work, some people, they'll scold them. Some people will act with them harshly. Even cooks. Your spouse, for instance, spends 2-3 hours more sometimes preparing a delicious meal, right? With entire effort and love. And this meal is devoured in 10 minutes. And if this person is lucky, he or she may get a thank you. But that's it. There's no real appreciation. You know, in this case goes, we can go on and on. When it comes to emergency services, right now the world, unfortunately, we see the state of the world with all of the terrorism and the extremism and the violence that's happening. Who gets the attention when these acts occur? Usually it's the perpetrators. Sometimes the victims. But rarely do we appreciate those who run towards the danger in order to save people. The emergency services, law enforcement, who put themselves into danger in order to save people, in order to come to their rescue and to help them in need. They don't receive appreciation. There is no recognition. And so, in many cases, we find that service and kindness and generosity and goodness, it does not receive appreciation or recognition or admiration.
But brothers and sisters,
it is in fact this that is the decisive test of goodness. And that is, what is our intention when we provide service? When we do good towards others, and when we act kindly, and when we are of service, what is our intention? Is my intention that I receive recognition and admiration and adoration for my act? Or is my intention something else? Is my intention to help others? Do I have a greater cause in mind than just recognition of my own acts? And this is why one of the many dangers of service and of generosity and kindness and goodness is the issue, what is known as charging or billing. When you basically charge for your services, you remind people of the goodness that you've done. I'm not talking about charging people in terms of work. No, you have work, you receive payment. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when there is an act of goodness, an act of kindness, but then what? After a while, you send a bill to this person. You remind them of this act. And sometimes parents engage in this behavior towards their children. After many, many years, their child may do something that might make them angry, and suddenly they begin to remind them of everything they've ever done for their child. You know, when you were, before you were born, you were in my womb. You know what you did to me. You know the sleepless nights that I had because of you. You know the extra hours that I had to work to pay for your college and to pay for your bills and to pay for this and to pay for that. They begin to what? They send a bill for their services. This destroys children. This destroys them. Why? Because all along they assumed that the intention for this goodness and for the service was pure, it was good. Now suddenly they realize that they're being held accountable for all of this, that the intention is not the same. Suddenly it vanishes. All of these decades of service, they vanish. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, chapter 2, verse 264, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى Do not annul, do not destroy your sadaqat, your acts of charity and your acts of goodness by doing what? بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى Number one is preening and the other is injury when you remind someone. There are some people, they help, they assist, but what? There are strings attached. In order for me to help you to do this, you have to do this for me. Or, later on, they remind them, do you remember 20 years ago when I gave you $3.50? Remember that? Don't forget, huh? Still have a favor upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not destroy the impact and the sincerity and the consequences, the positive rewards and consequences of your good acts by reminding people and by bothering them about your favors over them. Do not do so. Imam Ali alayhi salam has a beautiful hadith. In this hadith he says, إِذَا صُنِعَ إِلَيْكَ مَعْرُوفٌ فَذْكُرْ Anytime you are the recipient of good, someone does something good, a kind act towards you, you are a recipient of this kind act, always remember this kindness of others upon you. Never forget. Don't forget your friends, those who had favors upon you. Sometimes, unfortunately, you know, we have people who help us, they assist us, they are good to us, but we forget about them. Once our work is complete, once our business is complete, khalas, we forget about this person. Until when? Until we are in need again, then we remember them. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, never forget the goodness that others do to you. Always remember. Always remember the goodness. Then he says, إِذَا صَنَعْتَ مَعْرُوفًا فَانْسَحْ. However, if you yourself do good towards others, then make sure that you forget about that good. When others do good to you, always remember those acts of goodness. When you do good towards others, never remember them. Forget about them. Keep them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't remind others of your favors upon them. Because in this way, we do what? We maintain and we safeguard the sincerity and the value of service, of goodness. When it is done purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for a greater cause than ourselves. And thus, brothers and sisters, through service and community, we are able to grow. Individuals are able to grow, but so are communities. Communities, they grow when there is service and when there is mutual goodness and compassion and kindness. And a successful community is one in which each and every member participates in service, brothers and sisters. We can't have successful communities that only depend on some and not others. Where only some individuals and some members are willing to serve and to do good, while others are only willing to be served. Unfortunately, sometimes we see that there are individuals who live their entire lives with the intention of being served, never to serve others. From the moment they're born until their last moments, every instance of their life is one in which they expect to be served by others, but never to serve others. And this is problematic. I'll give you one example. When we look at the holy month of Ramadan, many communities, they end up doing what? They end up providing, for instance, many Islamic centers and mosques, they provide iftar every single night throughout the entire month. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them, may Allah bless their sponsors and those who take care. But there are some people, when it comes to, first of all, the time of iftar, mashallah, you come to the masjid at the time of maghrib, you see the cars are lined up all the way to the front of the street. Filled, there's no room. And this is great, everyone is there, they are there for prayers, and they are there for iftar. Iftar finishes, 3/4 of the people are gone, khalas. Now of course, people have work, they have their lives, that's okay, no problem. This is not the problem. The issue, the problem, is when we expect only to be served, never to participate in any act of service. And there are people, who expect only to be served, that they come and they eat and they are satisfied and khalas, they have absolutely no responsibility whatsoever, not even to lift up one chair, not even to lift up one bottle, not even to help support. Every night we find this, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed this community with a number of devout people. When we sit down to have iftar, you see a few very devout people who never receive recognition, by the way, but we have to say this, who are also fasting, they have also spent the entire day fasting, but who delay their breaking of the fast to make sure that everyone in the community is eating, everyone has a meal, everyone has water, everyone has anything that they need. And usually it's the same people. It's part of our responsibility as a community that everyone participates in service, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to sponsor iftar, everyone has to pay bills, everyone has... No, but we do in our capacity. And I began my talk with this, that our traditions and our teachings, they emphasize on even the smallest things. The smallest things. We don't have to go far. But to do a small act of kindness, a small act of service. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as the great messenger and prophet of Allah, in his great capacity, he would always serve and he would always participate in service. in every aspect. Whether it meant coming together with the rest of the community to help build the masjid in Medina, the holy mosque in Medina, with his own hands he would help build. Or when they would travel, he would help in preparing the meals or camping or whatever it may be. Or at home, he would help with the domestic chores or with shopping or groceries or any issue that it may be. He was an active participant of the community. He would not only be served, but he would serve others. And he teaches us that in serving others, there is greatness. There is greatness in serving others. And we have many examples in history. A Sayyida Khadija, alayhi salam, who we commemorate her death on the 10th of the month of Ramadan. Her entire life was a life of service, brothers and sisters. Her entire life was a life of service. She gave everything she had, her entire self and everything that she had, in service to others. And these are examples, these are role models for us to learn from and to also imitate, to learn from and to adopt their lessons in our lives. The holy month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, is a great opportunity for us. The Prophet tells us that this is a special month. That its days and its nights and its hours are the best of days and best of nights and best of hours. This is the best time throughout the entire year in terms of our opportunity for growth and our opportunity for proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take advantage of every opportunity that we have during this month, not only just to fast and pray and seek forgiveness and recite the Quran, but also in terms of our service towards others and our community building. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to accept our fasting and deeds and acts during this holy month. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our misdeeds, forgive our sins and shortcomings. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief and comfort to those who are sick, those who are ill, those who are suffering all around the world. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His blessings upon the souls of those who have passed away. Wa ila arwah al mu'mineen wal mu'minat. نهدي جميعا ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.